Hello footies, welcome along to Foot in Review, powered by footcoaching.com, bringing you leading analysis and opinion on all things Ultimate Team since 2019. We bring you two audio shows a week, available on all your leading podcast platforms. Plus, it's a fully produced video show now, which you can check out over on YouTube and Spotify. Now, if you can afford to support us a little bit extra, go that little extra mile, why not consider heading over to patreon.com/footinreview. You get a range of benefits, including joining our new loyalty program. You get Discord access as well as lots of other bits and pieces. Head over to Patreon for all the information on that. A big thank you to today's show sponsors, Car Money. We'll have a little bit on them later in the show. But in the meantime, a big thank you to our Skybox holders over on Patreon, Amar, Artyom, and Peter.
Hello, foodies, and welcome back to Foot in Review, episode 653. Did you know that triangles are polygons with the least possible numbers of side, namely 3? And the 3 internal angles of a triangle always add to 180 degrees. Even an equilateral triangle has 3 sides for equal length and 3 equal angles. Yes, my name is John, and tonight we'll talk about triangles and the good and the bad of FC24. Joining me is, of course, the King of the North, the Harahola from Norway, the Norwegian Indiana Jones, is Mr. FC Database. It's none other than Yngve.
Hello.
Hello. Did you know that much about triangles?
No, I kind of got stuck with the episode number, so I don't know if I heard the right number.
653
is amazing.
No, that's not true. It's actually 563, but I'm glad you corrected me there, my friend. As in so much, I keep losing count. 563, still a lot of episodes though. Yeah. And that's not even considering our bonus episodes, which our next guest on this show has made a couple of himself, which we'll talk about as well, because he's back. I had to actually think very long about what his actually nickname was, but I think it's still the Angel of the North, but it's none other than Aaron the Mid. Kaloo, welcome back, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Let's go with King of the North and Angel of the North, like John Snow. King in the North. Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just good. Dutch guy from dead center Europe.
it's good to be on. I never thought I'd come on podcast to talk about triangles. I'm trying to play triangles around my opponents currently. I'm not sure how effective it is yet, but I like it.
Yeah, I'm trying as well. Let's keep it on that. So, Aaron, for people that don't know you, because hey, it's been a while. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you first, well, public thoughts on FC24?
So who am I? Well, I'd be disappointed if people had forgotten me, but I have taken a hiatus from...
We've also grown quite a bit, so...
Yeah, no.
Consider the positive thing.
Well, I don't know. I stepped back. It grew. Maybe there's some feedback for me there. I'm not sure. I took a hiatus really from being really heavily involved in the game. I was very aware of probably the more negative impact it was having on me rather than positive. And it can be quite a consuming game itself. It can be quite an consuming community. And I don't mean that as a criticism by any stretch of the imagination. And actually, have some of the stuff I've learned, the power of community actually can have a real positive influence. And I just wanted to take a step back, and you kind of really gave me some breathing space, which I hugely respect for that. It was really, really important.
I've not slept since that day though. That's that.
And I now wanted to kind of get back in the scene. I wanted to get back to kind of playing really, and I wanted to just play low key, and just really wanted to try and enjoy the game, I think. And I kind of, that break and that learning, I just went on a journey around me and everything to do with the game, good and bad. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to come back this year, completely different approach. And I really enjoyed the first season. I have to say, I started 2 weeks later than everybody else. And I think that kind of enjoyment and finding a way to enjoy it really helped, really, really helped. I've got nothing but positive things to say about the game.
That's cool, because we got a lot of questions about the negativity in the game, which we'll be addressing as well. So tonight, we'll of course talk to promo. We'll leave that mostly to the King of the North. triangles. I did not see that one coming. But yeah, hey, time for something new. It might be very good. And we got a lot of sent in questions, but also I want to discuss some topics currently in the game, just for example, gameplay. I want to see if you guys think it's good or not good and decide or actually discuss why you think that is. So we might have some different perspective of certain topics, which if you don't know Aaron and myself, we get very much get along, but we never agree on anything at first time anyways. So that might lead to a couple of good discussions. And hopefully, Ingvi, you can keep the middle ground.
I'll do my best.
Ingvi, we have to start, of course, with the week in review. A recurring Friday topic. What do you think about this week in FC24?
Oof. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to be super negative or anything, but it's been a little bit trying. Testing my patience, I guess, because I kind of had fun playing and then the new patch hit and EA decided they wanted to adjust the crosses, the whipped crosses, which is one of the things that I really have enjoyed using while playing. And then now it's completely destroyed. So yeah, it's like a kind of kick in the nuts, that one. So a little bit disappointed by that.
Not a little bit disappointed. You're extremely disappointed.
Very sad. Did you sound? You genuinely sound like you've lost a loved one there with the whip crosses.
Yeah, it was. I really enjoyed using the crossing. I didn't spam them like crazy, but I kind of could use it as an option to get some attacks in a little bit earlier if the opponent stepped out a little bit and then that cross behind them and usually a goal. So it gave me a lot of more attacking options, which I found fun, and I love crossing and scoring headers and volleys with the strikers or any other players as well. And since I can't, I've tried to do the cutbacks, but I can't score them for some reason. So that was kind of keeping the game really fun for me as well. And now it's like losing a loved one, yeah.
You must be the only one who can't score a cutback, Ingvi.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit older than most of the players, so maybe that's why. But yeah, it's like I go and try the pass, and nope, it's like I can't get the ball rolling. It's like suddenly the grass is 1 meter high, and it's very easy for the defenders to intercept. So I don't know what other people are doing when they do the cutbacks, but
it's time for shameless plug. Check out footcoaching.com, and don't worry, Ingvi, we got your back. We'll teach you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I saw the change. I had Chloe Kelly in my team for ages.
Yeah.
And the whip crosses was just so, so cool. But I did actually take her out recently. And it's a shame that there's no fullbacks who've got the same, well, I know Trippier has, but he's not really usable. But I love that. And it's a shame if they've nerfed it, like quite drastically, because it was a really super effective way, especially against more teams sitting deeper or the high press, like the auto offside trap. It just gave you a really easy option, because it did kind of feel slightly broken, because it literally felt every cross went straight to a free striker. It must have done something. I hope it's still slightly effective. It's really effective on corners as well. I always loved like play a short corner, back to the taker, they've come out 10 yards, whip it in, goal. Like, you know, I think the play styles for me, it's been a huge addition. Shame if they've have impacted that one, because it was, for me, the same as you, I love crossing. It's so cool. It sounds like it's not as cool, given how sad you sound.
Yeah, but Ingvi always takes a couple of days to process it. I think he'll be fine.
I hope to find a different way to do the crosses to make.
I've still been crossing a couple of days though, and
I can do crosses, but it's much more difficult to get the whip. It's like using a whip without, you know, the snap.
And yeah, you're the Indiana Jones from Norway. I mean,
yes,
someone can handle whips. It's you. I need a couple more days to let my professional opinion air. But so far, I do think, and I've said that really early on as well, that the whipped cross felt really broken, because it's always a hit. and that I wouldn't mind that they're tuning it down. Not saying there aren't other things they could tune down a little bit, like the Finesse Plus, for example. But I didn't mind the Nerve, and I honestly don't feel that made that much of a difference so far. But I used it probably less than you did. So give me a couple more days for my definite version of this one. I would say actually this was a pretty good week in FC24. I think we got some pretty cool content out. I don't like Centurions, but they still didn't get any. Like, the only thing that's really bothering me sometimes is the extreme negativity. Well, we're getting content left and right now. It's been very negative on socials, for example. And it's almost a crime if you try to say something positive. So that's why we tried today, is show multiple visions on certain aspects. And highlight the positive and the negatives. That leaves us content. So we'll start with the content and then discuss the good and the bad. I wanted to make the good, the bad, and the ugly, but someone said to me that I can't do the latter. So just do the good and the bad. But let's start with the content. Triangles, what's it all about?
It's 3 stars from the same club. So it's 1 female player and 1 male player, and then there's a hero. So you get your triangle to kind of do some interesting linking up.
Be fair, you're never getting that those triangles.
I might get a part of them, but it's a little bit difficult. If you're going to do the Spurs one, I think, you can do 2 of them quite easily. One player and 1 SBC, and then 1 very expensive SBC. So that might be a little bit costly for Spurs fans, I guess. But of course, there's so many well-known players. Yaya Toure, we have Thiago, Joe Cole, Guvu, Kimpembe, Carvajal, Ginola, Kaut, Gallagher, Kirby. There's a lot of players that people know. Grealish. So there's not many unknown players to get if you're lucky enough to pack some of these. So
what do you think of the idea, Aaron?
Refreshing. It's nice to see content that's different this year. I'm a big fan. It looks like there's a lot of grindable content on the menus that goes alongside this as well. If you look at the Spurs SBC, I think it's Neville. She's really cheap, really good card. Potentially hard to link if you don't have a lot of English or WSL players in your team. But I think a lot of the WSL, and it goes the same with the other girl players, is I think their value, unless they're super meta, it's quite low. Not you don't come across them. Well, you probably come across them more frequently, but I think that they're not overly used. You don't see them like Hemp, Chloe, Kelly. You know, 2 great crosses of the ball. If you traditional 4-4-2 with 2 big target men up front, it was just a dream fun to have, right? So I like that they're bringing this in. I like that it's a really diverse promo. It gives you access to the hero cards as well, although they'll probably be slightly overpriced and will be difficult to get. I'm not sure how usable over a long period of time some of them are potentially going to be. So I'm a big fan of seeing them do something different. I guess sometimes it maybe feels like eat, sleep, repeat, especially with the game modes. But this for me is refreshing. The season's shorter as well, so I quite like that. I think that's pretty cool. There's 3 good free cards available through the season if you hit all of the XP to get them. And then does that mean there's another one that comes next? I think I like that. It's the variety is good.
I can't say I disagree, but I care far less about content than the general player in FC24, I think, anyways. Good. Yeah. Evie, look at the team itself. Anyone you want to highlight from the team before you dive into the SBCs and the objectives?
Ginola. I'm pretty sure we're going to see him in most FC Pro playoffs. I don't know if we'll see this one this weekend, but the next ones, he's going to be in pretty much every team, I think. I'm pretty sure we'll see Kimpembe in a lot as well, because he's a favorite. Also, the left back from PSG, the lady. She has been really good before as well. Sakina. She has an inform as well, which was really popular. And she has the quick step plus playstyle and whipped pass normal one, which is nice as well. Anticipate, block, jockey, technical, relentless. So
sounds like me though.
Yes.
Technical.
So I guess she's going to be popular. And of course, the Ayatore will be probably in quite a few teams as well.
It looks decent.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Any monsters you want to pick out here, Aaron?
I haven't really looked at the players in loads of detail. I think that some of the lady cards will be really good, looking at some of their initial sort of the face stats, you could say. So I wouldn't write them off. I think they'll be easier to pick up price-wise. We talk about some of those higher Ginola, Kimpembe, and who's got coins to be picking up those, you know, right now, unless you obviously, I don't know, it's a contentious topic in playing the game full of your own money. Don't see a lot of high-rated cards in most games, to be honest. I've only played Mbappe against him once in all the games that I've played. So I'm not sure they'll all be there, but I think there's a lot of usable low-rated cards. I certainly wouldn't write them off. Some really interesting links you can start to do. And again, some of the ladies have really good, the good play styles as well, but I think those cards don't get picked up because their face stats maybe don't look as good. Maybe it's their speed or their strength. But I think the play style supersedes those face stats anyway. So I hope we see some of them in teams. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. But keen to see what else comes out. If it's a 2-week promo, see what we get next week as well. But not really.
Next week is a square promo.
Oh, squares and then circles. it's like a kid's toy. None of the Spurs cards. I mean, Ginola, I ain't getting him. But yeah, Madison or King don't really interest me.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I think is the Ginola as well. Ingfi, the heroes themselves, they don't look too much of an upgrade, nor am I.
There's not...
being too critical.
No, you're not really. If you check out, for example, Morientes, there's mostly plus one and a few plus two, so upgrades. So it's not like kind of a super huge upgrade for that card. So it's the same with Ginola. Mostly ones, there's a few twos and... plus three on heading accuracy. That card's going to be overpowered, of course, as well, anyways. But it's not a huge upgrade on his already great-looking card. Same with Yaya, mostly plus one, plus two on the pace. So, it's pretty much new... new card design, if you are a little bit critical, because they have the same work rates and weak foots and everything. So
it's even worse.
I think for plus one upgrades, right? I think that's where it's not great. I don't think. I think it's. I think from that point of view, for some of these higher rated cards, I mean, it's good if you're trading and you want to try and pick up some of the lower rated hero cards. You might see a little bit of a drop off because of these, but. For plus ones, the prices that were going around, I'm not sure it's necessarily whether you don't notice the difference in game over plus one, unless they do something with the play styles all of a sudden that makes them way more effective. I just don't see the value in it. But I love the idea of the promo, and it's nice to see some other newer cards. I like seeing different cards in promos, and this is a good step for that. You know, even the likes of Conor Gallagher in there are not exciting really, but it's a different name to the usual ones you generally see. And I think that's pretty cool. I like that. Variety is good.
Yeah, Athena as well. I agree. Although I have Joe Cole, the 87 rated one in my squad. The new one is basically the same card plus one, except it also has the same dynamic image. Which
that could be in Footbin though, or a web app.
Oh, that's maybe a placeholder or something.
I can mention one thing before I forget, is that Dirk Kuyt, he got a playstyle plus upgrade for his new hero card, which is the aerial one, which he didn't have.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's one of the few ones that got some kind of playstyle proper upgrade at least.
Yeah, I do think he has to have a right back position as well, though. But like he played that with the Dutch squad. But Descartes looks like a proper representation now of Descartes as he was.
In real.
Like good with his head, high, unlimited stamina, just go. Think that card, I mean, I'm not going to use a three star, but it's one of my favorite card, like favorite players of all time. And I think they did him well in this game.
Yeah, they should have made him play, could play a center mid or striker or something. But he can only use right mid and right wing, this new card. It's a little bit annoying.
Oh, it will never be used. 80k though, so.
I think you still got to remember though, right? It's very early in the cycle. Not far off a 52-week game cycle of like really frequent content. It's only week, six, seven or eight potentially. So I think it's...
I think we're week eight.
I think it's pretty decent that we've won the promos that we've seen in a short space of time. And this is new. It's good that we're seeing some heroes in there. Granted, they haven't had a huge boost, but at this early on, I'd be very surprised to see that. I think last year when it was the World Cup, we saw ones that did kind of, they felt like super good compared to the base one. So I think this is a start. And I think if you look in 2 or 3 months' time, we'll probably see some really juicy hero upgrades based on these ones. I think if you pack one, great. Will they be going out all out to try and sell my club or, you know, plowing loads of my own money into to try and get one? Definitely not. I just don't see the value. I would, though, be tempted to try and pick up some of the lower rated cards, the ones that you maybe haven't used before, really check out their play styles. We know this year, smaller, more nimble cards are way more effective. And that's where I think the girls add a really fresh dimension to play in this year.
Could be. Ingvy, I forgot about a piece of content this week, which we should have mentioned.
Well, which one?
Pundit picks.
Pundit picks, yeah. Yeah, we got a pundit pick SBC. Anthony Gordon.
Now try it again and then be a little bit more enthusiastic. Just like the real pundits.
Yes, we got Anthony Gordon, pundit pick, player SBC. Great looking card.
I'll help you. No, that came out of nowhere, though. Seriously, though, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but
is this a new promo? What's going on here? I quite like the idea, honestly.
But
it's fresh, right? It's unpredictable. Yeah. I think it's cool.
I would just want to know who picked it. That would be cool.
Well, Aaron did. He's a new Newcastle card, eh?
Well, let's be honest, Ingvy. So the premise of it was that it's Sky Sports picking players based on one match, season so far, contribution that they've made. I think it's a really sound pick because Anthony Gordon has had an incredible season. And yes, I've done the SBC as I'm collecting as many Newcastle cards and Evos as possible, all that are usable. He's not the best in game, let's be honest. But that's where I'm trying to play with a bit more fun rather than just chasing the kind of same old cards, because what's the point in that? And he's pretty cool. He's got a decent shot on him. Do reasonable amounts of skills, given that I don't hit all the top tier ones all of the time. Reasonably tall, quite quick. You see meta? Absolutely not. Worth the value? Probably not. But he's pretty cool to add to a team of like Callum Wilson, who's free, Botman, who's getting upgraded, Isak, who's been upgraded already. So, you know, I think it's cool.
Yeah, you're just enjoying
life. I'm biased, obviously.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, it's cool. I think it's, when you be objectively about it, I think it's too expensive. I think it's not very much a good card to use in the current game. But from a fan perspective, 100% agree. And it doesn't hurt bringing cards like this as SBCs in. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure you can do an evolution on him later as well. So it should be possible to upgrade him a few times, I guess.
Yeah, and that's also really cool, right? Because evolutions, we kind of don't know what all the trajectory is going to be or the opportunities out there over the course of the full cycle. So you know, hence why a card like this now might not be overly usable, but if you do him and then in a couple of months' time, all of a sudden he becomes really effective card, then everyone will be like, oh, should have done it. And it wasn't, I mean, I would assume most people had the low-rated fodder in their team probably to be able to do this. But and I also think it adds a really good dimension of unpredictability, which is good because we get so used to the same cycle. And it is 90% the same cycle, but 10% new and exciting. I think it's good. I mean, if it was like, say, an Arsenal card, I potentially could have looked at it anyway because it might fit the team. But I think it's a good thing to embrace. And I think it sets the tone for what the rest of the year is likely to be like as well.
Definitely. Well, talking about breaking the cycle, we have to break this cycle for the ad break. But after the break, we'll discuss the good and the bad of FC24. We answer some questions because there's a lot of people asking, how can you have fun in this game? And we can all see and hear Aaron is definitely having fun in this game, so maybe he can help out with that as well. So we'll be right back after this.
This show is sponsored by Car Money, the car finance ninjas, fighting to make cars affordable and accessible for everyone, no matter your financial situation. Nikki, the car finance ninja here, compares the top car finance lenders in both the UK and Australia to get you the best possible price so you don't have to, and they can get you approved fast. All you need to do is choose your new car and drive away happy. Get in touch with one of their friendly ninjas and start your car finance journey today.
And we're back. Aaron, did you enjoy your first ever Foot and Review ad break?
I think it's possibly one of the best ad breaks I've heard.
I'm really glad. We've been practicing hard on this. Well, we've been trying hard to get sponsors in, and now we have to make sure the breaks are good as well. Ingvi, had a good one?
Very good, very good. I also remember that we got two Player of the Month SBCs today as well. Maybe you should.
Definitely, and not the tiniest one either.
So one expensive and one not so expensive. So I guess I won't be doing any of them, but Salah is around 960k and Martinez is 95. So yeah, nice to have, but
yeah,
I can't generate fodder. So if I can buy the non-inform Salah, it's not that big of a difference. So.
No, I think that's Salah is a pretty cool card in this game. Yeah,
that's a really good card. So
I quite like him. He's now 160 something, something around that last time I checked. So I would just get the regular one. But it's cool they gave him the player one. I think it's very much deserving. Mm-hmm. Isn't the difference that he has different play style?
From his trailblazer, yes, but it's not different from his non-inform.
Then I would never pay 800,000 difference for this guy.
No. Maybe not.
Although he's got a great dynamic image.
That's true.
You know, doing cards for dynamic images, such an own goal. The play styles are crucial. I wouldn't do it. Dying's a waste of money. I don't use him, but the gold Salah is incredible card with his finesse shooting. If it's still the same play style, well, arguably, what are you getting different? Nothing. It's just a flex of either your financial power in the game or you like the dynamic images. I mean, I just don't see the point. The market's crashing. Just wait another week or so and you can probably pick up Salah for bottom price. You'll stay in your team for probably 2-3 months. I think that's a sound investment if you love Salah, if you love Liverpool, however your team is built. The Martinez the one disappoints me because play styles are like nothing. It's a shame because I think he's a good car. I like him as a player. I think some of his stats are interesting. It's the play style is just like, what is there that's really going to add value in the game? So I actually think it's probably a waste of fodder.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't disagree, Envy.
No, instead of doing the Martinez SPC, I would just go and buy the upgraded Trezeguet because that's a really good card. And
don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Don't tell
super
them.
Super cheap, super good. Super fun.
Super good.
Yeah, he's super good. He's scoring lots of goals for me and a fun card as well. It's.
I literally just bought him because I was afraid you're going to mention it on the podcast.
Cool. Have we got that much market influence now? Yikes.
We wish.
Jeez. Let's have a look.
How much he has now?
He's probably 80K or something.
Yeah, 80K.
Well, right now he is. Oh.
Is he that good? His play styles aren't that great.
Maybe, but it works.
Acrobatic, eh?
Yeah.
You just
if you cross a ball in the box, the ball is everything in on the first touch, so it's a goal pretty much. So.
That crossing's dead. Four star though. Yeah. 6'2", good body type.
Yeah, he makes
good finishing.
Work rates a bit.
Drift, put him on drift wide, and he makes really good runs into the box. Easy to find him, and he finishes well with his both feet, and he can score headers. So
plus,
yeah, good positioning. Yeah.
One of the best dynamic images in the game.
There's some good dynamic images on the icons this year. Really cool, to be fair.
Definitely. So I traded in Haaland for him. So let's hope he's right on this one. I'll let you know in player in review next week. Anything you want to add about the promo, Yngwie, before we go into a deep dive if FC24 good and bad?
No, it's a decent start. So gonna be cool to see if they do more of these. Some surprises would be nice.
All right. Well, talking about surprises, Aaron wanted to come on today to talk about good stuff and bad stuff, but he very much likes many things. I want to name a topic, and I want to hear from you guys if you think it's good or bad in FC24. And this is something we can continue all year long. So we won't go in all the topics because we also have a lot of sending questions. But I do think we can have a little bit of a discussion here. Discussion number one, or topic number one, is 71 DAP. Do you think it's good or you think it's bad in FC24? Yngwie, 71 DAP, good or bad?
It's difficult. It's both good and bad. It's good for people that struggle moving the players around to defend. It helps winning the ball a little bit earlier. Bad thing is that you can get countered, and if you face a decent player, he can move the ball around quite quickly and you'll be exposed and gone for an easy goal. So that's his good and bad sides. The only thing I really dislike about it is that it seems like stamina rarely get any drain at all when it's activated, which is annoying. So I don't, if it drained its stamina, I don't think many would use it that much either. So,
Aaron, good or bad?
I'm not going to sit on the fence. I am going to say that it's bad overall for the game. I think, given what you said at the top of the show, they've nerfed the crossing, whip crossing, as they have, takes away a really good way of dealing with it. So that's, I mean, not that there's loads of players who could do that anyway, and you're kind of like compromising some elements of your team to get it in your team, but it is really effective. So it is bad because it narrows the skill gap. And my view on skill gap is if the AI does something for you, it's making the skill gap narrower. You should make the skill gap bigger by asking the player to do more. And there's an offside trap that you can trigger. So you should have to manually trigger your offside. It requires skill, timing, and you can't frequently do it, right? You see over and over again. It seems like it's slightly changed a bit this year. You could use to spam it and they keep moving up, whereas this year it seems a bit of a delay. Just because I haven't used it that often. If auto offside, I'm not a fan. It's the auto offside that I have a problem with. The high press, I don't have a problem with because you drag players out of position. It's really easy to play in behind. But the auto offside bit, I just think, should be something that a player manually triggers.
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, maybe, I did a show saying 71 depth, I actually call it 71 depth, is good for FC24. So it would feel really weird if I'd say 71 depth is bad. But there is some, occurring insights, I think, if that's something, ongoing insights. I can pretty much beat it most of the time. And I'm not top-notch player. I think it's a boring way to play. But I've coached a lot of players in the last 2 weeks, which say mainly their frustration is the fact it doesn't require, like Aaron says, much skill to pull off, to be able to play like that. And it doesn't feel like something you'll see on the pitch where everyone just swarms everyone. And when teams get it right, like Liverpool was able to do for a long time. City does from time to time. Feyenoord did, for example, against Lazio. And then you're like, this is actually pretty cool when you do it. It's really cool. Now everyone is able to do it without requiring a skill, I think, like Aaron said. So I am sort of, I'm not mad it's in the game, but I can understand more now, a couple of weeks later, that it's tiresome to play against all the time.
I feel like they could be close to actually making it reasonably effective, especially with the high press, for example, if they linked it to play styles. So if the house, I'm sure, and again, I'm not an expert on all the play styles because I've tried to avoid immersing myself in every detail. But if you have like Relentless, for example, as your play style, if you had a team of Relentless, you should then be able to play that way really well. But, and that would be pretty cool because then it means those players have more value to fit your style of play, which would be really cool. But that's not the case. You've got players who's got really poor stamina still able to pull it off. So I feel like they'd be close if they could link it to that. I think we all know that the way that the game is coded and coded on top of each year and each version means they can't do that. So it's not really something to expect. So it could be cool, cooler. It won't be, but I do think it's frustration. I do think people will step away from playing the game because of it. It was there last year. I don't know why we kind of surprised. There was an auto offside trap. So it's not like something brand new, but it's boring to play against. It is boring to play against. And that was one of the reasons why I stepped away, because I found it really frustrating playing the same player every week.
Yeah. I think the general consensus is it's bad for the game, but it's pretty much doable to deal with. Right? Okay. The different formations in the game. Is it good or bad? I think this is one. Like, Yngwie, you often go back to the same formations.
Yeah, but I try different ones. I think it's a good thing that you have lots of options, because if you play for a while and then it's feeling like, okay, I'm kind of getting stuck here and struggling, and okay, maybe I should try something different, and it kind of, you notice new things about the game when you change the formation and maybe a little bit on the setup as well. And that's, I think, is a good thing. Because I see more different formations now than what I did on 23 at least. So I think that's a little bit refreshing at least. And there's like not one super meta that everybody used, because that was really boring. So I face all kinds of formations now, and I like to have an option to do different stuff if I want to during the game as well.
And for me, it's part of why I'm trying to find the game fun this year. So I kind of like season one for me, I used 4-4-2, and I actually didn't do anything with the custom tactics. I just left it as it was, default on everything. Because the more I do, the more I tweak, I noticed the more I get frustrated by it. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to play it as the game's designed. And I thought 4-4-2 was really cool. I loved, obviously, I talked about Kelly at the start of the show. The whipped crossing was really cool. If you had someone tall at the back post, headers, brilliant, loved it. And this season I'm trying 4-4-3-3, not really one I'd particularly go to, but I'm investing a little bit more in tweaking some of the custom tactics. So that naturally comes with a little bit more frustration because I'm invested more in it. But I agree with Yngwie. The variety of formations is great. There isn't a single meta. 4-3-2-1 or 4-3-2-1 was OP last year. Everyone used it. So boring. This year, it's still in the game. But I think this is where there's a benefit potentially of play styles, because you can counter it with the boosts it gives to defenders. So, it's quite narrow. I think it defended as a 4-4-2 last year, if I remember correctly. You could tweak it. This year, I haven't seen anybody do that. So it gives you loads of opportunities on the wing. So where it feels like you're suffering in the middle, you're benefiting on the wings. So I feel like it counters it quite nicely. And then that's because games become quite ping pong. I've noticed a lot of games quite high scoring. And that's what I love. I actually realized when I took my hiatus was one of the things I was trying to rediscover was, why do I like the game? What do I love about playing this game? And what I love about playing this game, and I've noticed I can feel it when I'm playing, is scoring goals. Nothing else actually matters. It's scoring goals that I find the most enjoying part. And this game is very much like it this year. I can lose 6-4. I've scored 4 goals, so I feel pretty good. I'm not fussed about the result because those 4 goals made me feel good. Last year, you would grind away. You could not score. They'd counter. It would be annoying. So I do have one point on formations, though. I feel they need a bit more work in their structure. So 4-4-2, for example, and I messaged in the group chat, the midfield just all defend in a tiny box. Defensively, I'd like them to be a little bit more spread out, because all I end up doing is taking my right winger all the way over to the fullback to try and put a bit of pressure on. I think they could just work on some of those components. And I think if you look at 4-3-3, which I'm trying at the moment, when you start, if you have a goal kick, your two wingers stand basically up on the fullbacks. That would not happen in game. So even if they drop deeper by like 5 yards, that would feel a little bit more normal. You have to then call them short for a pass, which is fine. But that's a skill gap. And if you don't do that and you pass into them and they've got a high press on, their fullbacks already won the ball before you pass even made it. So a few little things like that, I think, require a little bit more care and attention. But overall, I think formations this year are a win. Good.
I 100% agree, but I have two possible problem scenarios in my mind. The first one, what I really don't like, is the first 30 seconds of a match, of the first 30 seconds after kickoff, any kickoff, because basically everyone just tuned their brain down to zero, like zombie mode. Even if, like, the first 30 seconds of a game, the reason kickoff goals happen, the reason why you can just dribble through everything, AI is just turned off. They just stand there flat in a formation. They were just parked it, and they can't do anything, which I find extremely frustrating. It's been bugging me for 2 years now, and it's still there. So that's what I don't like. Making some formations that are compact in the middle actually preferable for pro-level play or high-level play, because at least you can't run through the middle, because, hey, people just stand there, right? That's not going to get fixed anyways. So I just want to make one vent about it and then be done with it. The second thing is, we got our first broadcasted pro event this Saturday and Sunday, right? Or this Saturday, at least. The formation that's going to win that one, or if there's two formations in the final that are the same, that's going to be the formation we'll be seeing for the next couple of weeks, even though it's not necessarily strong, because I do definitely agree the balance in this game is much better than it's ever been before. But we will get a sort of meta formation in the coming weeks, because what we'll be seeing tomorrow, this Saturday.
What would be your bet on what that is going to be?
4-3-2-1.
If you struggle to manually defend, or if you can, you're not using team press or second man press, and neither I'm overly efficient on, even though I'll try, or you're really dialed in, your player switching's a little bit off. It becomes a bit.
You always have a man in behind or in between the center defenders, which you can just ping into.
Yeah.
And it will happen. And it only needs to happen once to get a goal in. And that's why the 4-3-2-1 is, in theoretically, I think, still the strongest formation. And the way it can get sort of countered, you can't play in pro level, which is a 5-4-3 back. So
it means that the games are going to be super high scoring, which is actually pretty fun, though.
I don't think anyone takes any risk at the start. We'll see very low scoring games at the start.
I would put a bet on you now that would not be the case. I reckon there'll be at least 3 goals in every game.
All right, let's talk about it next week, because I'm pretty sure what's happened. By the way, Evie, just to make sure everyone is aware, if you link your Twitch account with your EA account, people get content in game now, right?
Yeah, you can. You can get these viewer rewards. But you can also link Twitch and YouTube to get these. Twitch is probably the easiest one, because most of us already have done it, so it's kind of just like tune in. You also get a few packs by just linking them, so when you start the game on console, you get a few packs for that. And you kind of, if you watch 15 minutes, you'll get 400 XP, and if you watch 60 minutes, you get a Prime Gold Players Pack. If you watch 90 minutes, you also get something like a Prime Gold Players Pack. So this will also give you a Mega Pack by watching, and you will get a Rare Players Pack. So there's lots of packs, at least for watching. We didn't have that last year as well. You can unlock a kit, which is looking okay. So
with loads of more tournament last year, though, there was actually a pro scene worth talking.
Yeah, that's
not trying to be overly negative, but pro scene.
I miss the good old days when you could kind of win an icon or something like that, or players.
Only because you got a team of the year, Frank.
I also got
Pele. So,
but at least the option was there for people to get something really, really cool, and we.
Yeah, one Pele on the stream where 50,000 people were watching, and Ingvi got Pele.
Yeah.
And then the next time he got a Team of the Year De Jong, because, hey, they gave away two, so I remember this guy.
Yeah, but...
Well, yeah, check it out. It's this weekend, and make sure to connect those accounts, because it's definitely worth trying.
Yep. It starts at 6 p.m. UTC, which is the UK time. So content o'clock tomorrow on Saturday, 11th, for some extra stuff.
Yes. So you got a podcast coming out at 6 p.m. UK on Saturday evening. And there's live content, which will net you back. I don't know what better combinations.
That's awesome.
Exactly. We have so little time, but we got so much to go into. So I just want to ask you guys to name one topic you either hate or despise in this game. We'll drop it as a teaser, and we'll be continuing this conversation in the future. Ingvi, what's the one thing you like or dislike?
I like the evolutions. I want to stay positive about this.
Aaron, what is the one thing you dislike or like and you want to mention?
I'll give you two things. So,
of course he does two things.
I really like playstyles. I think we'll see some really cool things this year, and I think potentially even better things in years to come. So I really like that. I dislike the negativity in the community, and I understand it to a point, but at the same time, I feel like there is ways to enjoy this game, for every type of player. And I do wonder if you change your mindset in how you approach the game, then do your results follow? So, yeah, there's my two.
That's good too, though. I'm not going to add or take anything away from that, because the incentive questions is all about to do with that. Plus, we have something to announce concerning you as well, which sort of hints on the topic as well, Aaron. Adam asks, sent in the question, can FIFA really die? Is it something that people say has happened over the years many times and seems like we're on the precipice of it apparently happening again? But I sort of feel it's too big to fail these days. Look how much is wrong with the game, and I think profits are up. Even their player base is down a little. There's just no real competition that prevents them from having to make a really good game. Following up that question is Shaq saying, well, EA is probably not going to do much about this game. There isn't much difference on the game to actually do. Evos are good, but I'm just tired of spending hours and hours to try to snipe the card I want to Evo. And if I choose the Evo bronze cards to 80 rated, where do I realistically use them? Hence my question is, what do I do for fun in FC24? Aaron, tell me about Mindsight and how you can enjoy this game.
I can only really speak for me. And I think
You come from an experience where you really, really started to dislike
the game last year. So I think some of that was, there was many factors really. But my approach
is... Don't mention the salary.
My approach is to take each season uniquely and think about my approach for each season. So this season I've set about, I can't unfortunately completely like trade up my team and then try loads of different players, which I kind of wanted to try and do. I'm not quite there yet. I am working on building my Coinbase though. So, but I think, right, I'm going to do 4-3-3. I started off playing on a tactical cam review, which I loved, absolutely loved. However, once you get into higher divisions, it's harder. It's too hard to defend effectively. So I have switched back to normal, but that's okay. So that helped me kind of enjoy that first season because it was kind of low-key fun. But I guess everyone's probably similar to where I am at right now in kind of dipping a toe into being a bit more competitive. But for me, it's like I just think about what am I trying to achieve for that season. I'm not thinking too much beyond it. I'm embracing all of the objectives and doing them and earning the XP and getting the car and the packs. And I'm not sweating if I don't care if I don't pack a great card. I love the Evos because I can Evo players that I want to. And I'm not going after all the same ones. I'm choosing different ones. So that for me is, I'm playing it my way, on my terms. I'm not being influenced externally. I'm not chasing the meta. And within that, I mean, I'm kind of enjoying it. Like I play my two centre-backs right now are Botman and Schlotterbeck. Right? Slow. But I'm actually having fun with them because actually they're usable. Good, decent cards. I can upgrade Botman. So like I'm kind of cool having fun with that. And like I said, for me, enjoyment is scoring goals. I know that. So as long as I'm scoring goals in games, I'm not really too fussed about the results or where I come. Haven't done champs this year. Don't really intend to. I'm embracing what I'm doing. Squad battles. I'm doing moments. I'm doing objectives. You know, I'm just enjoying all of the content. No pressure. Trying something different to keep me focused on it. That. And as long as I'm scoring goals, I'm having fun. And that's kind of it.
Nothing gets you tilted by playing someone that just pressures you?
Probably been more tilted the past few days at points, but not to a point that it worries me. I think, yeah, no, like cut back goals, I do it. Can't really moan if someone does it to me. Bounce backs. I've scored some horrific bounce back goals. I sit there and go, woo-hoo. You know, that was rough. You know,
so about bounce to me, backs though.
It happens to me, like, what do I care? My keeper. I conceded the goal the other day. They've obviously patched keepers, which is really helpful. But it was a near post free kick, the slowest free kick you've ever seen. My keeper, who was Pope, who's now gone, literally pushed it into the post. Like at a slow speed, and I just laughed, and he won 1-0. I was like, but I can't change it. So why am I getting stressed about it? Like, what if I project all this hate and negativity about the game or the content and this, that, and the other? I'm just making myself feel worse. The game isn't going to change, no matter what people say. So let's just embrace it for what it is. Accept that it's designed the way that it is, and find a way to have fun. I like using different types of cards. Trezeguet. I love that. That's a kind of a unique sort of card. I would love to have got like Kanu, Berbatov up front, you know, Premier League icons, cheap as. Like that's where I'm going to this year is I'm just trying to find a way to kind of have fun on my own terms. If I pack a good card, great. So check this out, right? And this probably won't go down well. I pack Neymar, untradeable. I've not used him because as soon as I do, my mindset will change in the game. And I don't want that. I want to play the game on my terms.
That's some 5-star moves there. Packing Neymar, not using him though. My competitive heart bleeds. But I am so applauding you for the way you look at this. And the only thing I can say, and I've been having this conversation a lot this week with trainees, is try not to let something you don't have influence over influence you. If your opponent plays 71 depth and you're frustrated by it, try not to get frustrated by it because you can't make the opponent play something else. What you can do is practice on what you can influence, basically playing the ball around his press, taking the first step back and just punish the fact that he plays that way.
Mm-hmm. And there are mechanics, sorry, John, to cut you off. There are mechanics in the game that are easier to use that can beat the press. And it's simple things. We know triggered passes is one, and it's probably a slightly harder one to learn, but once it's in, it's in your game. I really enjoy tapping and holding L1 and then the player drags the ball back. Right. So if I'm playing that type of player, I kind of stand them up, drag the ball back, they dive in with a tackle, and I'm gone. See you later. And, you know, once you start to work on that kind of as part of your build-up phase, your transition phase, and your attacking phase, all of a sudden, you create really cool chances because everyone's spamming tackle to try and win the ball. But as soon as they do that, they've committed and they're gone. So I think it's like just finding ways within your skill level to kind of enjoy. You don't need to be learning like reverse elasticos, crazy skill moves. Don't. It's actually just some really cool build-up play. 1-2 passing, really effective as well. Like really, really effective. You can build some cool patterns with that. Again, because people are so focused on trying to spam tackle and win the ball back as soon as you play it, they're not watching the runners. So you can make really cool runs in behind and you can find them. So I think some of the classics are still really effective.
I can actually hear your enthusiasm in your voice.
So this move is this to hold L1 when you have the ball?
So you tap it.
Tap and hold.
Tap L1. The player will stop with the ball in front of him. It's like a fake shot stop. Yeah. And then all I do is I then hold L1 and you can move it left or right, but I just move it back. Yeah. So the player then puts the foot on top of the ball, drags it back. The player will tackle, not expecting you to do that. And then because they're committed, you can either pass or just dribble around them. Yeah. It's harder to do in and around their box. You've got to do it quicker, lots of more quicker taps on it. Because they, again, if you're up against Van Dijk, I mean, he's three defenders in one, so he's pretty much impossible. But again, it's just pretty cool to just stop because everyone's so aggressive. So if everyone's so aggressive, you just got to stop, let them move around you, and you're kind of in. That would be my one bit of advice. When I'm focused on that, I find my gameplay is way more effective.
Sounds fun.
No, I think this episode is more about how to have fun in FC24 than actually triangles. And I did so much research on triangles before we started. But hey, knowledge is never lost, hey, once you have it. We got one more question from Chris. He sends in a question for Yngwie. He says, with a lack of ways to generate fuller and overpriced SBCs, and EA definitely pushing FIFA's, pushing players towards FC points, hashtag pin the points. Do the guys in Foot and Review use trading discords or recommend them as a way to do SBCs, etc.?
I recommend using our trading podcast because they give very good tips. And I don't know. I wouldn't pay to join some kind of trading discord when we have pretty much what we need where we are now. So I prefer to support our guys.
Aaron's might have a different opinion there.
I don't know. This is going to be really contentious, but in the purposes of being totally transparent. So Shaq and Dan have been really good at kind of giving me what I felt like was foundation to trade. And I learned a lot last year, actually. I traded quite well. But this is another way that I've actually wanted to try and learn. I think one of the things I know about me now is I love learning. So I love learning new skill moves, even if I can't do them particularly well. But trading is something I really wanted to learn. So I did take the foundations of what Shaq and Dan gave. I did, and I have joined another trading Discord. So it might be slightly contentious, but it's really helped me embrace something new about the game, which I didn't really know before. And it's given me returns. And if I'm going to spend money in a game, I'd rather spend money on that than plan points in potentially packing something, but probably not. And you know, I've been like three weeks probably in. I've nearly 500k. I started with 20, so it's working for me and it's helping me give me another focus in the game.
Well, that's cool though, and I'm not saying anything negative about trading Discord. It's got like weird do gameplay. Some people have more expertise with trading. I just take what Daniel and Shaq feed me, but I think they have a different approach. Their approach is definitely teach someone how to fish instead of, hey, these are the fish you should be catching and they're over here, right? Although we do have a cheat sheet, which does sort of have that as well.
And that's what I've learned actually is about the market. I think there's some really cool things in FootBin that I've kind of started to use. I'm understanding that a little bit more. So I'm learning to fish, but at the same time kind of being told where to fish. And, you know, I'm not making big, massive money here. I had the plan to make 1 million coins by Christmas. Hopefully I'll try and achieve that. So, yeah, but again, it's another bit that I've kind of found to enjoy the game. I don't want to put any pressure on like Dan and Shaq. I know they're very busy people anyway. But I think from what I see within other Discords around this, is that there's a big appetite for it. and it adds a really cool dimension to kind of the game. If you can't pack the players, if you can then buy the players, it makes you feel a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, and also, don't worry about the FOMO. You don't need to do every single SBC.
No way.
If there's an SBC you like, you'll probably be able to do it or grind towards it, because honestly, the big SBCs now don't stay on for 5 days either, so you can work towards them.
Which is also really cool, you know, and I've done one SBC this year so far. That's mad, no? I did Malang Sarr at the start of the game.
And the Newcastle pick this week.
And Gordon, that is correct. That's two. I'll do Thiago Silva. I was waiting to see what else would come out with this promo before putting in my fodder in. He'll definitely go in. Really cheap, really good card. So, yeah, I think picking and choosing. But the icon ones are achievable over time. But they have, EA have done something to manipulate pack weight. I would agree with that. Last year, every team had Mbappe, it felt like. This year, like I said, I've only seen him once. So I do think they are controlling. But if you look at it the other way, SBCs this week required 83 and 84s. So that's, and they're accessible. They also released a pack on the store, which I know is contentious, to give you 83s and 84s. But there was potentially some value in that, actually, if you looked at how much those cards are on the market compared to the cost of that pack. Actually wasn't bad value, even though it's contentious. So it's not as if they're holding high fodder away from you and then saying, oh, but you need the high fodder. They are for some, but those SBCs are out for longer. So I think they kind of pricing based on it in the market. And they're also not releasing loads of meta cards. Like, you know, Sun is really good. He does come out of cost. He's very early in the game to have a card that good. Salah's going to be the same. Some of the others, I think they're okay and achievable.
Yeah, but it is hard to do an SBC without going to the store. And I think putting an 83 and 84 packs in store is, people say it's good because, hey, it gives an option and it's good value, but you should be able to get that value with playing or doing upgrade paths that didn't push you towards the store. So I think it's a problem it's a solution for a problem they are creating and maintaining, which is why I'm a little bit more negative about it. It's good to be there, and I would be one of the players that would like instantly get that back to the SBCs. All fine. Although, hey, I'm at hashtag win the point, so I'm not spending any points, which means currently I'm not doing any SBCs either. So that's sort of the issue.
But that's interesting, and that's something I'd probably talk about in other shows around people's attitude and desire to need to do things straight away.
Definitely.
And I think EA has caused this.
Yeah, for sure. Aaron, we are running out of time because this is already going for an hour, but you have got something to announce for all the listeners. And basically also mostly for the patrons.
Well, I think my main announcement is a return to coaching, but not technical gameplay coaching. It's more mindset focused, and that extends just beyond managing your games, but also thinking about your mood and how immersed you are in the world of FC24, and making sure that you get balance and just maybe getting you to shine the spotlight or hold the mirror up, probably the better analogy to use, so you can kind of look back and think, actually, what's my engagement levels like, and are there some small changes that I could make? That's a reflection on my own journey, my own learning. I've had an opportunity to experience the learnings of some experts, psychotherapists, neuroscientists, who talk a lot about addiction. Not so much in gaming, I'll be honest. Addiction comes more from your traditional addictive drugs and vices, but a lot of it is very relatable. And so I want to help anybody who is probably struggling with the game and not enjoying it. I think that's the starting point, and it's a fire to find a way to enjoy the game. I'm not saying enjoy my way. I just found my way because I found out what it was I like about the game and focusing on that. So, but you know, if you're negative, if your mood is low, if you're just struggling, and maybe this role is spinning over into a everyday life and you don't know it, then I want to help people there.
Definitely. So what we'll be doing is, we can announce that we'll be doing a 3-part special episode series with Aaron coming out relatively soon. Episode 1 has already been recorded. You'll find that everywhere well, soon enough, I hope. We'll make that series complete and add some fancy graphics and talk about all that. And you were opening a Discord channel for all the Patreons to just say hi and reach out, eh?
Yeah, that's the plan. That'll come once the three-part series is out. And then I'll open the door to talking about the mental side of the game and what we can do as a community to be more positive. I'm not saying it's a negative community at all. It's certainly not. But I think it's just about finding enjoyment in the game. It's probably a better phrase.
That's awesome, though. Looking forward to getting that up and running steadily. But I definitely think today's show is a good eye-opener for people that are currently not enjoying it and see someone that definitely didn't enjoy the game last year anymore started to enjoy a game in its own way. So I thank you for being open on that, being on the show today. And if you have any questions, people can find you at Just Aaron. I think you changed something there, but I'm just...
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Just Aaron on X, or just send a message and we'll make sure. I think it's also Aaron at Food Coaching if you really want to reach out directly, right?
Correct.
So Aaron at foodcoaching.com if you want to send an email to Aaron. Thank you very much. There's just one thing for us left to do, unless Ingvi has any closing comments.
No, I'm just happy to have Aaron back. So that's really good for me.
That's very awesome. Kind, Ingvi.
Let's see if Aaron still knows what to do, though, at the end of the show, because I wish everyone a very enjoyable weekend. Enjoy the FC content coming out. Don't forget to like us or subscribe to us. Check out all our socials at Food Coaching everywhere. Our TikTok is blowing up, guys. You should really check that out and leave a comment there. Be more interactive with us. But there's one thing left to do, and that is for us too.
Drop it.
F-U. 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 F-